Steve McCauley is the executive director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Steve. our Steve and Steve show.
Steve asked me before we went on the air, he said, what are we going to talk about? And I said, airplanes. And he said, oh, good. I thought we were going to talk about the Seattle Space Needle. Steve has been a regular here in the final segment of From the Stand for the last number of years. It's always a great way to kind of wrap up the week because, you know, seaplane flying is the most fun, right? That's what you tell me about.
Yeah, it's Seaplane Saturday. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Exactly. So, you know, the seaplane base here is always a good spot to go and relax and get away from the hustle and bustle of the Air Ventures site. And this year was no exception.
Yeah, you know, I invite people. A lot of people here at AirVenture don't know about the seaplane base, and it's such a different atmosphere than the main show. It's a park-like atmosphere with trees and shade and a cool breeze coming off the lake. And I invite people, if you have not been down to the seaplane base, it's a must-attend part of your AirVenture experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's focus in on the Seaplane Association, Seaplane Pilots Association. What are some of the big things that have been taking place in the last 12 months that keep you busy?
Well, always safety. I mean, right. We always want to increase the safety of the seaplane community. We're doing a lot of scholarships, bringing youth in, and we've seen tremendous success with our 18 to 25-year-old scholarships that we do. We've had our scholarship recipients end up being chief pilots of airlines and things like that, and going on to train 200 more seaplane pilots because they'll stay behind as a CFI at the school they train at. Always invasive species. Yeah. You know, one of our big battles is aquatic invasive species. And the regulation that is occurring nationwide, we as a community want to make sure we're the best stewards of our nation's waterways. We enjoy them. We enjoy going to these remote locations. So we want to do everything we can to match the same standards and protocols that the other user groups like boaters are doing as well.
Yeah, something a regular tailwheel pilot or a tricycle gear pilot on wheels doesn't think about is that it really does make it can make a difference if you go from one body of water to another. You can transfer
invasive species just like a boat. And you see a lot of state to state when you cross state lines now with your recreational boat, you'll see an inspection station or a decon station. Yeah. And the challenge for us is we're crossing state lines without being on the road, and we end up in a waterway the next place we go. So we've got training programs and videos, and we're always working on, we've got actually a pump that we've developed that filters out the invasive species from the water when we pump the float. So really excited about that, and we have a bunch of them here as well.
Good. How difficult is it to decontaminate a seaplane?
Well, it's the same as the boating industry or the boating community. So 140 degree water for animals, and then just a visual inspection, scrubbing the floats or taking any weed fragments off, anything like that that would get caught up on the airplane. And then again, we've developed a pump that when you pump the floats, it actually filters the water as it exits the float and make sure that we aren't again spreading anything, any of the bad guys.
Definitely. And that's becoming more and more typical these days. I mean,
it is.
10 years ago, you barely heard about invasive species.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Zebra mussels it was a big thing around here. But now it's more and more, and it's really, really something to be concerned about.
Yeah, zebra mussels, quagga mussels. I'm impressed. You have zebra mussels, so you understand that. Yes. But also Elodia, and there are weeds. So it's both plant and animal.
Right.
And again, I've been very fortunate. I mean, I've kind of earned a pocket PhD on the subject as I advocate around the country. And again, I have to say that the regulators that we work with are enjoyable to work with, and it's an education process on both sides.
Good. Well, let's talk about something fun. And that is you end up taking a number of trips around the world with seaplanes.
Yeah. I mean, what a great gig.
Yeah.
So on top of being up here and getting to talk. So no, one of the things we do with the Seaplane Pilots Association that I started several years ago was I've been very fortunate to take adventures all over the world that are like a trip of a lifetime. And so we've started doing trips for our members. We just took 35 pilots in October to Lake Como, Italy, and we flew seaplanes in Lake Como, Italy. I mean, how special is that? They've got Super Cub there, a bird dog on floats, which is kind of rare. there, 206-172s, and you're flying in the most one of the most beautiful locations in the world. We took 35 pilots over there. It's the second time we've done it. And, of course, you have to do a little side trip down to Maranello to drive Ferraris on the racetrack down there.
Good.
But and I also just got back from Biscarrosse, France, a huge seaplane event down in southwest France on the Atlantic coast. And we're doing these trips every year. We'll do a U.S. trip one year, and the following year we'll do an international trip. And we've got Poland, Norway, and France lined up for the future. Wow. And we're working with Nat Geo on doing an expedition cruise with seaplane flying in Alaska to do the Alaska adventure.
Wow. How and comparing the U.S. Seaplane industry to the European, I mean, it's smaller, obviously, but
yeah.
How would you rate it percentage-wise?
Maybe. Well, U.S. is by far the largest, followed by Canada. Mm-hmm. From there, we're seeing a lot of growth in Asia, I think Asia is the next big hot spot for us. But literally, Australia has a good community.
Wow.
Italy has a small community. France has a small community. But we have countries that are using seaplanes for firefighting, like Spain, right. But there's no private seaplane flying. Okay. So we're working on opening up those countries. We're seeing growth in the commercial seaplane industry in India. Of course, Maldives has huge fleets of twin otters. So the Maldives are a big hot spot for us as well.
Very good. Are you, well, that wasn't on your list of places to go quite yet, right?
Oh, we need to go there. Yes. We absolutely need to go to the Maldives.
And Nat Geo, that sounds like an interesting trip in itself. How did you get kind of hooked up with them?
I pursue people.
Okay.
I pull on their shirt sleeves until their sleeves rip off.
Okay.
No, you know, it's a dream. It's a dream come true. I like making dreams come true for other people. And in doing so, I get to live the dream myself. So we reached out to them and said, look, we have this dream. We'd like to do a dedicated small expedition cruise for our members. And they were like, let's go. Let's do it.
Excellent. And will there be a will it do a documentary or?
We'll see. I go back up to Alaska. We just gave away a fishing trip or auctioned off a fishing trip at our corn roast on Thursday night. And it was a $25,000 one-week adventure in Alaska at a remote lodge with beavers accessible to take you fly fishing or to bear watch. And someone, actually, one of the, Mike Ginter from AOPA was the winning bidder. So they're going to, for $13,500, they're going to get to go to Alaska, and I'm going to go up there and film them.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be good.
Good. Oh, you mentioned the corn roast. That was a success again this year. In the rain.
Yeah, in the rain. In like a 50-year history of the corn roast here at AirVenture, it has rained twice in the entire history. Unfortunately, both on my watch. But we're seaplane pilots, and so it was amazing because I thought everyone would just bleed away and you know, leave the event. And everyone stayed and had a great time. And we were kicking people out at 10 o'clock at night.
If someone would like more information about all the things that the Seaplane Pilots Association does, what's your website address?
Very easy, seaplanes.org.
Okay.
It's kind of hard.
Yep.
As long as you can spell seaplanes, SEAPLANES.org. Look us up there. We also have the Seaplane Foundation. You know, members get a full-color glossy magazine, the only one dedicated to seaplanes and the waterflying community, Waterflying Magazine. We've got the Waterflying Podcast available anywhere. Okay. So there's lots of ways to find us and get engaged.
Good. Talk more about the foundation.
The foundation. So the foundation can handle our educational projects, our safety programs, and our invasive species studies. We're actually working with biologists to do studies. We have a big study going on in Lake Hood in Alaska, the world's largest seaplane base. Right now, they're experiencing a accelerated corrosion event. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's causing it, if it's electrical or chemical or what's going on in the water. So we're working with the University of Alaska Marine Biology Department to kind of figure out, do we have electric leaking in? Yeah. Do we have anti-icing fluid coming off of Ted Stevens International that's going in the pond and having some kind of effect? We're going to figure it out.
Sounds good. Steve, that address once again?
Seaplanes.org.
Can't miss it. Steve McGuire is the executive director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. And that's going to wrap up this year's shows. My thanks to the team at EAA Radio for making my job easy. And don't forget the EAA Radio archive stream year-round. And you can relive AirVenture 2025 and interviews from past years as well on the archives. And we do appreciate you listening. This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss on EAA Radio.